Reading some verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If you'll look there with me this morning, 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter, and verse number 16. Just verse 16, 17, and 18. These last three verses of this wonderful chapter. So glad that we have the comfort of the Scripture. The Word of God is a help to us in every situation. God has a word directed at your need. God has an answer directed at your question or your problem that you're experiencing today. And I hope that you'll look to the Lord and you'll open your heart to things that the Lord wants to speak to you even this morning in this service. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. These three verses, you really get an insight into the balance of our life and even in the Christian experience. All of us, we have days and we have times when things are going good, and then we have seasons of time when they're not going all that good. Maybe you move into a season of trouble or sickness or perplexing circumstances in your life. And often case, it's true for the Christian that you will have many good things going on in your life, but then on the other hand, there's always some difficult, challenging, testing times that you're going through right along with all the good times. And that's how it is in the walk with the Lord. That's how it is in our life. And you can see the contrast here in these three verses. We look at our life from a physical perspective, but the only way that all these things, negative, bad circumstances, make any sense to it all is if you look at it through a spiritual lens. Then it makes sense. Otherwise, it doesn't. And that's the contrast that the Apostle Paul provides in each one of these three verses. That we don't faint, he said. We don't quit. We don't give up. We don't lose heart. Because we look at things not just from a physical perspective, but because we belong to the Lord, we can see also through a spiritual lens. We see things from a spiritual perspective. And that things in verse 17, that we don't look at them, it's not just physical and spiritual, but it's also time and eternity. We see things as it relates to this life, time, and then from the perspective of what it really, really means as far as eternity is concerned. And then the last verse that we read, verse 18, the seen and the unseen. If you're looking at your life and your situation through natural eyes, the physical and what you see, then you may be troubled. You may be overwhelmed. You may feel like fainting or quitting or giving up, losing heart. But when you look at it from the unseen perspective, you know that in all of it, that even in the worst trial and the worst circumstance of your life, that God is working in that, even in that, for your good. For your good. He worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. God is always at work in our lives. And so the bad and the good, we take them together and we understand, because we're a child of God, that God is sovereign and He's at work in our lives. And we're just thankful that we have Him to call upon. And we have the Lord to put our trust in. Desi Allen, this week we were there for the funeral of his wife, Joanne. Desi had made a statement that that these are probably the most difficult days he's ever experienced. You can imagine. His wife of 30 plus years, his companion, the mother of his children, his partner in ministry, and suddenly, without any warning, she's gone. You can imagine I can't imagine, but it's just unbelievable. But yet, even in that, when you sat in that funeral service, as overwhelming and as sad as it was, we heard the accounts of her life, her testimony, her ministry, and there were all these highlights. Now, I'm sure that down through the years, she had difficult times, and we were at this funeral service, but I was lifted up. I was encouraged because I could see that even with the most horrible of event that had taken place in this family, that there were all these wonderful bright spots of the grace of God at work, and how God used her and God blessed her and worked in her life. And so we don't understand, and you don't understand all the things that you're experiencing right now, but we just put our trust completely in the Lord. Amen. Not too long ago, I was having a little pity party. I was the only one invited to the party. I was complaining. I started to say I was praying, but really I was complaining to the Lord. And it was just between me. It wasn't even a verbal prayer. I was just in my spirit complaining to God. Lord, why is this way? Why? What about this? And just kind of complaining to the Lord. And, you know, I've never heard the Lord speak audibly, but I have sensed the Lord's voice speak to me deep in my spirit. You know what I'm talking about. And during that complaining session that I was having with the Lord, which my problems were small compared to so many others, it's like the Lord just whispered into my spirit, it's only a season. It's only a season. And from those words, it just helped me. It just encouraged me to know that God's at work in struggles, difficult times, when things are going, you know, you're facing adversity and situations that you wish that you didn't have to go through. But we understand that as not just humanity, but all of us, even Christians, we go through difficult, troubling times. Job said, Job 14:1, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Now I know that Job, it almost, when you read through the book of Job, it almost seems so melancholy and so sad, all that he went through. But even in the midst of all that Job experienced, there were still these times when he would rise up in faith and say, I know that my Redeemer lives, and I'm going to stand in the latter day. There are different places throughout all of the sad trial of his life, and even at the end that he was able to rejoice and give glory to God because God honored him greater in his end than he'd ever experienced and blessed his life. And so we all have the combination of the good and the bad and the difficult struggles of our life. We all experience them, and they're all a part even of the Christian experience, aren't they? A lot of people who get saved, they have the illusion that they're just, you know, my troubles are all over and I'll not have any more problems. It's just not true. As a Christian, you do go through troubles and you do have problems and you do have times when you suffer and you are tested. As Christians, we go through times. But the wonderful thing is that during these times, we have Jesus. We have the family of God. We have the Word of God, the comfort of the Scriptures we mentioned earlier. And most important is we have this wonderful insight through the Scripture that we understand this is not all there is. God is at work. And even when things are tough and sad and difficult, that God even works in those times. God's still working behind the scenes to bring about something good in your life. That's the most, and those that don't know the Lord and don't have insight to the Word of God, then they just suffer through their trials without even ever understanding that the hand of God might be back there somewhere working and trying to achieve something or accomplish something in your life. You know, we live in a world of so much trouble and pain. And, you know, most, if you keep up with these tragedies, shootings and things in our nation over the last months and years, almost every one of them are related to someone who's having, you know, some sort of emotional or mental illness or some circumstance that they have just got to a point of despair and hopelessness and they don't know what to do. And so they take things into their own hands and they do horrible, despicable things, murdering people and thinking that they've lost all sense of what's right, and they lose their whole moral compass. They don't know what they're doing sometimes. They're just doing things, trying to bring some answers into their life. This week, a lady in Washington, D.C., her family are all shocked by what's happened. They can't imagine that this has happened to her, that she's just, you know, rammed her car into the gates at the White House and then was almost running over police officers and Secret Service and eventually died. Now, whether or not that was the right thing to do, shooting her or not, I don't know. I just know that people are in trouble. People in trouble. And there's only one answer to all this mess, all this confusion, all that's going on in the lives of people. We have got to help people in our generation to see that Christ is the answer and that the Word of God has answers. And when you remove all these wonderful things from our lives and from our society, then we have deeper trouble, deeper problems. That even happens in the church. It happens to Christian people. People go through unspeakable, terrible things. 5 days after Easter Sunday, Pastor Rick Warren's son took his life, shot himself. Now, this is a man that we would think is having all these great successes. Rick Warren's books have sold over 100 million copies. That's a lot. His books, his one book, Purpose Driven Life, is the number one Christian bookseller, book that has sold more than any other book except for the Bible, ever. And he's a millionaire many times over. His church has 20,000 people on Sunday morning at something like 15 different campuses. You would look at him and say, wow, this guy is really getting it done. But then everything was brought down in his life back, you know, to the reality of the fact that all of us face challenging, horrible, difficult times in our life. Amen. And where am I going with all that this morning? I want us to somehow be able to see that it's not the will of God that you allow the things that are happening in your life right now to ever bring a suggestion in your mind that you should ever quit God or ever back off from the Lord. We faint not. We don't give up. We cannot quit. That can't ever be a suggestion that comes in your mind. And that's what is on my heart and in my spirit today, that there may be some of you under the sound of my voice in this service today that you've just been entertaining the fact that, you know, God has let me down. God has not, and He's allowed these things to happen to me, and they're in my life, and I am a Christian, and I love the Lord, and why am I going through that? And the enemy is whispering in your ear, you just need to quit. You just need to give up. You just need to walk away from God or the things of the Lord. God has failed you. Well, that's one of the biggest lies that the enemy is telling. And he's telling you, and he's told some of your friends and your loved ones, and suggested to them that they just need to give up and forsake the Lord and to forsake the things of God. Don't ever allow that to be a suggestion from the enemy that you ever entertain. There is no place to quit. And that's what the Apostle Paul is talking about here in this chapter. When he talks about the provision of the Lord, when he talks about God at work in all of our lives. You can go back to the very first verse of chapter 4, where he says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not." We don't quit. Amen. We don't give up. We hold on to the Lord. And understand that there's a different way of looking at things that you're going through right now. And that's what the apostle is saying. We look at these things from a totally different perspective because we are children of God. Amen. And we understand that God is at work. The apostle Paul, the middle part of this chapter, says we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We're not going to give up. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are cast down, but not destroyed. He's describing all the pressures against him. And if anyone would qualify to talk about trials, persecutions, pain, imprisonments, beatings, all the things, shipwrecks, stonings, all the things that the Apostle Paul suffered, he's fully qualified with authority to speak to us about all these distressing things and all these problems. And in the end, he's just simply saying, even though all this has happened to me, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to lose heart. I'm holding on with my whole heart. It's never an option. Amen. Glory to God. It's never an option to give up. Amen. Amen. That's the lie of the enemy. That's what he's trying to tell you to do. He's telling you that God doesn't care about you. He's not interested in your problem. That you're all alone in this trial. That no one really cares about you. He's telling you that God's a liar. That God's not keeping his word. And all the while, these temptations are coming your way. And the Apostle Paul wants to remind us through this message to the Corinthian church. He wants to remind all of us today, we might be pressed, we might be pressured, we might be distressed, we might be knocked down, but we're not knocked out, and we're not going to stop, and we're not going to quit by the grace of God. Hallelujah. We're going to keep on pressing. We're going to keep on believing. He understood it. Psalm 37, verse 23, "The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." Oh yeah, I've had a few experiences that have tripped me up, almost knocked me down, almost made me wonder what is going on. I've had friends that I have such confidence in the ministry who've fallen into terrible sin. I've watched people, their lives just crumble before them and move away from God and just begin to follow the things of the flesh. Sometimes it shakes the very foundation of who you are and what you believe. Amen. It really does. "But though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, or he will not be destroyed. The Lord is there, and he's going to uphold you. He'll help you in the midst of your trial and your question and your trouble. He will help you." Not only did the Apostle Paul go through all of these things, he described his ministry. He said, "We were made a spectacle." In his ministry, what he was describing was what the Romans would do, is they would bring in those who would entertain people. Bloodthirsty crowds of people who would come into those Roman Colosseums to see people's bodies ripped apart, to see people come in to that arena and just completely defenseless and their bodies being ripped and torn and destroyed. That's what the Apostle Paul is talking about in chapter 4, verse 9, when he says, "I think before God set forth us apostles as it were appointed to death, condemned to die," just like those people in those Colosseums were. "For we were made a spectacle unto the world, unto angels and to men." We were put on display before the world. What was he saying? He was saying, the world is watching you. The world is watching you and me. They're watching how we are responding to our trouble, how we're responding to our challenges. The world is watching what's going on in our lives and the way we respond to all these things. We are a spectacle to this world. We need to keep in mind that as Christians, not only is our testimony a word from our lips, but it is also very much a part of the way we respond to the circumstances of our life. Amen. That our faith holds strong when we're going through trouble. Amen. When we're going through sickness, when we're going through losses, when we're going through persecution, whatever it is that you're experiencing today, you're holding steady, you're holding fast, and the Lord is holding you up. He's strengthening you through the struggle of your life. And the world is watching to see if you're going to respond in a different way than the average person, the unconverted, would respond. We are spectacles. We're put on display. The world is watching to see how that we are going to respond, how we're going to live. And even though we face all of these various trying times in our life, we hold on to the Lord because we know that God is going to be faithful. And not only that, but that our life and our response is on display before the world. Amen. 2 Corinthians 6 and 4, it says, "But in all these things, approving ourselves as ministers of God in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings." I believe the Apostle Paul, he has the authority to talk about this kind of a subject. The things that he went through all the way to the end of his life. And finally he said, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I never got off course. I never got out of the battle. I just stayed in it. I just kept fighting. I stepped into every challenge, and the grace of God has carried me through. I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith." Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't know who or how many that I'm talking to here this morning, but I really believe that there's some of you in this service this morning that you've been questioning God and questioning your trouble and your circumstance. You don't understand what's going on, and I can't say that I understand it. I just know God can be trusted and that God is faithful. He's not going to let you down. He's not going to forsake you. There's not one of your prayers that He has not heard. And He will be faithful to help you and to answer your prayer and to come through for you as you remain steady. But don't quit. Don't lose heart. Don't lose faith. And stay in the battle. Stay right in that place of duty and responsibility. Amen. Glory to God. I don't know why it is, but sometimes it seems like when people get in the heat of the battle, they stop praying. They stop the Word of God. They start coming to church, and they begin to break ties with all the very things that they need to sustain them and to help them in the midst of their trial. Don't faint. Don't quit. Don't lose heart. Hold on to the Lord this morning and believe that God wants to move for you and He wants to answer your prayer. It's only a season. It's only a time you're going through. God will help you. He'll be faithful to you if you'll just hold on to the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. In this chapter, the Apostle Paul talks about death working in us. Death working in us. And as I was reading that verse and reading through this section, I thought about the fact that we have several people that are, you know, older. I'll put myself in the same classification. Getting older. A lot of things happen to you when you start getting older. Amen. Amen. It ain't no fun getting older. It just ain't any fun. I know that's not good grammar, but it's just not any fun. Getting older. You just have struggle. You know, Solomon gives some real insight in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 to what happens to you as you get older. Do you know that it's quite possible that even in your older years, that the enemy will slip in there and try to discourage you and to hinder you Amen. Remember your Creator. This is Ecclesiastes 12 and 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. It's talking about the season that comes in your life from your youth, and you start getting older. The older years that are the difficult, the challenging years, the evil days, when they come, more challenging, more difficult. While the sun or the light or the moon, verse 2, or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. That you're moving from the springtime of your life and the summertime of your life, kind of into the winter, the fall and the winter season of your life. And it's sometimes challenging. Amen. Verse 3, it says, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, talking about your arms. Your arms are your defense, the keepers of the house. You get older and you try to sign your name and you're shaking. Keepers of the house are trembling, and the strong men, talking about your legs, they bow themselves. You've seen people older and they're not strong enough. They're weak, they're shaking, they're feeble. The strong men bow themselves. The grinders cease because they are few. It's obvious what that's talking about. Your teeth are few. Things change as you get older. And those that look out the windows be darkened. Your eyes get dimmer. You need bifocals and trifocals, and you need all this to help you to be able to see. Amen. And the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of grinding is low. It's talking about someone when they have very few teeth, and so whenever they're chewing their food, it's just like not much noise going on, not much happening. And he shall rise up at the voice of the bird. You get older, you don't sleep that sound. The littlest thing will wake you up. And all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Everything, you know, your the organs of sound, your voice is weaker. Your hearing is weaker. All the daughters of music are brought low. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high. You don't think about it till you get older. And Marcia's been saying, we're going to have to get us one of those. What is it? We need a handrail so when we come up on the... She's talking about the Wootons, but I think she might have been talking about herself too. I don't know. We need to get a handrail for the Wootons, she said, so that they can get up on our platform. Amen. It don't seem that high, but when you get older, it's kind of high. Amen. 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 Be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, fearful of things that they would normally not be fearful of. The almond tree shall flourish. That's the almond tree that turns white as it... White hair. I saw the picture of a Schooley's wedding 17 years ago yesterday. There was some very young-looking guy on the platform who helped in the ceremony. Black hair. 17 years ago. Not much gray hair, but now it's just about white. The almond tree shall flourish. The grasshopper shall be a burden. Desire shall fail. Because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. I won't read any more of that. I don't want you to get too awfully depressed about that. The Apostle Paul, I think he's even describing about the fact that death is in our bodies, that we're gradually dying. I read somewhere one time that the cells in your body stop reproducing themselves, and they start dying off. As you get older, that's why the hair turns white and your skin starts to sag and everything else is not what it ought to be. Because you're in the process. You're getting older and older and older and older until eventually you go to that long home. Amen. Amen. I went through all that just to describe the fact that I think that sometimes in your age that you can think that God has forsaken you, that God doesn't care about you. And I want to encourage you today, don't give up. Don't lose heart. Understand that God is able to work, and He is working in your life, even in the most challenging and difficult times of your life. Amen. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man is perishing, that even though the physical body is gradually losing strength and the outward man is perishing, the promise of the Word of God is that while that's going on, that the spiritual man can be growing every day, getting stronger every day, that God is just doing a work in you. You say, I'm physically, I can't do what I used to do. Well, that's pretty normal. As the years go by, you're not as strong as you used to be, and that's going to happen, but that's not going to affect you spiritually. As a matter of fact, the challenge of your years, the challenge of your physical body getting weaker and weaker, can remind you of the promise of God that even though that your outward man is perishing, your inward man is being renewed again and again and again and again and again. The spiritual man is being strengthened in all of these times that you're facing. Praise God. Hallelujah. Our outward man perishes, but the inward man is renewed day by day. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What a wonderful promise to every one of us here today. So we see from this chapter that the Apostle Paul is wanting us to put on the lens of the eternal, the spiritual. Not live for the physical, but to live for the spiritual. Not live for the physical, but live for the eternal. That's what really matters. Amen. That's what really matters. That doesn't mean that you should neglect your body. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, but it's not an object of worship. Amen. Your body is not an object of worship, but it is the dwelling place of God. And so it's important that it be taken care of. And we all should take care of our physical bodies. But even with all of that, it's temporary. Even the healthiest and the strongest will one day begin to lose their vigor and their strength. Amen. But even in old age, God is faithful. God is faithful. And you can be renewed day by day. Verse 17, he says, for our light affliction. I read to you all those things that the Apostle Paul went through. Shipwrecks and stonings and tumults and all kinds of different persecutions that he went through. Unbelievable, the things that he suffered. But he says, it's a light affliction. Now, it doesn't seem light to me, and it certainly seems like it was severe what he went through. But he says it was a light affliction, which is but for a moment. And it's working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Hallelujah. He's saying, in comparison to the worst sufferings that I've gone through, the thing that we really, that's really important is that there is an eternal reward that's provided for all the people of God. No matter how difficult your trial or your sorrow or your trouble or your sickness, it's a light affliction compared with all the glories and all the wonderful things that are prepared for the people of God. We have to become more eternally perspective. We have to be more focused, our eyes upon the Lord and upon heavenly things and the things of another world that is to come. And then we will be able to live our lives faithfully here. Discouragement comes and defeat, and people give up whenever they think that this life is all there is. They're all focused on themselves, and they're focused on their problems and their pains and their troubles. But we need to focus upon Him. We need to focus on this eternal weight of glory. How wonderful and how precious it is. All the things that are prepared for the people of God, for those that have put their trust in the Lord. Hallelujah. What do we need to do? Well, we need to go back. We need to take another look at Jesus. We need to take another look at what He has done for us. And if you're going through troubling, difficult times here this morning,
You need to take another look. You need to go back to Christ, back to the Lord. You need to ask the Lord to help you to change your perspective so that you could see things the way that He wants us to see them. Isn't it an amazing thing that people can go through the worst of trials, come through that? And God often takes your worst circumstance and makes it into your best testimony. Amen. I was reading, I don't remember when now, yesterday, recently, a little bit about Elizabeth Elliot. She was one of my favorite people, is one of my favorite. I really wanted to know if she was still alive because I hadn't heard much from her lately. But Elizabeth Elliot, who was married to Jim Elliot, one of the five missionaries martyred down there in those Aka Indians that destroyed their lives, took them away. Young, their little baby was 9 months old when Jim Elliot was speared to death. But God opened up a door, and she has a little brief testimony on her website where how that God opened the door for her to bring a couple of women that were a part of this Aka Indian tribe into her home. And as she began to minister to them and they became acquainted, became friends, it opened the door for her to go right in. And she spent 2 years right in the middle of the tribe of those very people who murdered her husband and the other missionaries. God can take your worst sorrow, your worst trouble, your worst problem, and He can turn that around to something mighty and wonderful. And He delights in doing that. And He will do that for you if you'll put your trust in the Lord today. The last verse is, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. How do you do that? You have to get a spiritual perspective. You have to see beyond what's happening to you. You have to see beyond your trouble and your sickness and your burdens. And you have to ask the Lord, Lord, help me to see beyond that and to see from your perspective what's going on. But at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, they're temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. All of your trouble, all of your worry, all of your problems, above all, and this is what I just sensed in my spirit so strong that I needed to convey this morning, a word of encouragement to you to say, please don't quit. Please don't lose your confidence in God. Don't cast away your confidence. Hold on to the Lord, because God, even in the worst of your situation that you're in right this very moment, and we all have things that we are experiencing, troubles and reverses and sad things and, you know, things we go through in our families and various, we all have these various issues that we deal with. But through it all, we understand that God is with us and that God is carrying us. But not only that, He is working in us day after day after day in the midst of all of this trial. We're experiencing this in the flesh, but in the spirit, the spiritual man is being strengthened and blessed and edified on a daily basis because God is working in you. Don't give up. Don't lose heart. Amen. Instead, renew your commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Renew your commitment today to the promises of God. And get on those promises. Stand firmly on those promises. And let's believe God to bring some victories. Hallelujah. In His own good time. Hallelujah. Don't faint. Praise God. Father, we thank You, Lord, that You can speak to us. You have spoken to us, Lord, through Your word. I thank You, Lord, that You are with us. Lord, an abiding presence with us in all of our circumstances. Through the good, through the times of blessing, through the times of plenty, and Lord, You're also there with us when we are suffering, when we're struggling, when our faith is weak. Oh, we thank You, Lord, for that. Oh, Lord, we belong to You. We're Your children. And Lord, You know what our needs are today. And Lord, to the very ones that You are speaking to in this congregation, I ask you, Lord, encourage them. I ask you, Lord, lift them up, help them in the needs that they're faced with right now. We ask in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.